I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Aline.
And you're listening to Those Gals.
We're ready for episode 2.
Yeah, episode 2, the difficult sequel, some might say. Hopefully not. Hopefully you won't think it's too difficult. We're glad to be back, and we're also super glad that a lot of you chose to listen to episode 1 as well.
Yeah, that was amazing. It's always hard when you put something new out into the world and you're a bit nervous about how it'll go, and it was just so nice to see people's reaction.
Yeah, it was super exciting, and like I say, we're super excited to be here for episode 2 as well.
Yeah.
What made us really happy the last time was people that, you know, they interacted while they were listening, so
it was really funny.
Yeah, they let us know when they were listening to it, eating their breakfast, or they were listening to it while driving in their car or whatever.
Or that they got to the bit with Fido Dido.
Yeah, or they got to the bit of Mr. Motivator.
Yeah.
It was awesome. We were super happy. And a lot of you listened to us share some of the things that we used to do and used to wear back in the day, and you decided to share some things with us as well.
Which was quite exciting.
Yeah, we loved it. It was great. So a couple of quick mentions before we get episode 2 started. We loved the fact that Pam had the coveted Kylie hat.
Oh, I was so jealous, but I had deep respect for her at the same time.
Yeah, it was amazing. We bet you looked awesome.
Definitely.
We also have a lot of love for Michelle, who posted an awesome picture of herself on Twitter and told us about her 6-inch Spice Girl shoes.
Oh, she had such a cute picture in her big dungarees, which we obviously had pairs of ourselves.
Of course.
And I shared my shame with Lindsay about the Spice Girl shoes that I had. She's still never forgiven me.
Yeah, I really want to see them now, but Michelle's, you know, your pictures looked awesome and your stories were great as well.
Yeah, thank you.
We also had Roz, who shared her love of mood rings with us. Even today, I still love a mood ring. They kind of remind me of My Girl 2, you know, because Macaulay Culkin gives her the mood ring in My Girl 1.
Emotional.
It is. It brings back a lot of emotive memories, but I do like them. And finally, Bryony still rocks long sleeve shirts under short sleeve shirts, and so do we.
That's totally fine. No judgment here.
Yeah, definitely. It's, you know, we always love to have fun with fashion, and it's not about what's right or what's wrong, it's about what feels good. And you know, it wouldn't be a good day for a wardrobe ensemble if we weren't pointing at each other and wondering what the hell each other had on. So
so thanks to all those guys and everyone else who took the time to retweet us, mention us, post links to us.
Yeah,
we really, really appreciate it.
And yeah, so welcome back, and let's get cracking with episode 2.
Yeah,
we're combining a couple of different things that we love in this episode. You know by now that we love clothes, and we also love our pop culture icons.
Indeed.
So what we're doing today is we're inducting a few people into the Those Gals
Hall.
Hall of Fashion Fame for on-screen style. So these are outfits and wardrobe styles portrayed by people from our favourite movies or TV programmes or just general people in fiction.
Yeah, they might not even be our favourite movies or TV shows.
That's
but
true.
Sometimes style outweighs crapness.
Yeah, sometimes style outweighs the storyline.
Yes.
So we're going to name a few of our favourite moments in pop culture, you know, on screen style. So we hope that you enjoy it. Maybe some of your favourites will be in there, but you know, as always, get in touch with us and let us know if we've missed someone crucial off the list.
Yeah, exactly.
Or if you totally agree with someone that we're talking about.
Or disagree.
Yeah, or disagree, exactly. So if we've given someone a mention in our Hall of Fame but they wouldn't make it into yours, then let us know why as well.
Yes, definitely. So let's start off. I'll let you start off because you're a big fan of this one.
Yeah, so for anyone that ever watched Saved by the Bell, either the first time round or on reruns, would surely know the powerhouse of style that is Lisa Turtle.
She's so cool.
She wasn't, you know, the main focus out of the female characters, but I feel that her wardrobe far, far was so much more superior than the other characters in it.
This is definitely a case of style outweighing substance of the TV show.
Yeah.
And her style, as you say, outweighing everyone else. Like, nobody, when you look back on that show, nobody really looks cool anymore, but for some reason Lisa Turtle will never be uncool, even though she's not in fashion of the moment.
I think my favourite Lisa Turtle fashion moment was when she wore this jumper that had, like, all these, like, birds of paradise on it, and it was really bright, and, you know, there was no colour theme, it was all the colours, and that's the best theme. That's the theme I like to stick to as well, but it was beautiful, and she always had some awesome accessories, and her nails were always on point, and she was just generally full of fun, and that's always a good way to look at fashion, just to have fun with it and to be cheerful, and that's just what I love about her.
There's no way to mention Lisa Turtle without mentioning her hair, which was also incredible.
Yeah,
and I think she was the first proponent of the side pony that I knew of. Like, there obviously must have been other people, but she was probably the first person I saw it on. Like, pretty cool, scrunchy and all.
Yeah, I mean, even now, like, a side pony's always a good choice.
Is it? Probably. We can't achieve it with our hair length.
Yeah,
so
we can sit there with our short hair and say definitely, like, a side pony.
All of you with the long hair, do the side pony and tell us how you get on.
Yeah, and show us pictures, because, So second at the Hall of Fame is a character that I feel is very dear to Elaine's heart, and Elaine's going to explain why, so who have you got for us?
So when we first talked about this, the only character that I could think of who overshadowed all the other characters for me was Blair Waldorf from Gossip Girl. I've actually had to try and practice saying that, because I tried to say it to Lindsay several times the other day and I kept just messing it up for some reason. It's a tongue twister. It shouldn't be. Anyway, Blair, I'm just going to say Blair,
because we're in first name terms, so it's fine.
Blair from Gossip Girl is pretty much the reason to ever watch Gossip Girl.
Yeah.
I was quite addicted to the show because I love trashy teen TV. It's probably my favourite kind of TV, and she was just outstanding. They obviously realised fairly early in the series, having planned to centre it all around Serena and Gossip Girl and blah blah blah, that Blair was truly the most exciting thing on the screen, and her outfits were a big part of that. My favourite part of her style is probably just, like, the cuteness of putting together, like, little bits and pieces. So it might be, like, a small hat, it might be a cape that matched something underneath. It was her colourful tights, it was her bows.
Mm-hmm.
Just all good.
Blair has the whole package. Can you think of a particular moment in the show where she was really on point?
There's so many.
try and pick a favourite.
There's a couple, plenty of moments where Blair was just, like, looking amazing, going about her every day, which were pretty cool.
It's something and that we always aspire to.
Yeah, exactly. You always want to look like that. But there was also some moments where she just head out of the park just going really fancy. One of them was, I can't remember what series this was, but for some reason her and Serena were in Paris. And she went to meet Chuck, who had lost his memory after being stabbed. Yep.
Are you sure this was Gossip Girl or not? Some, like, daytime soap opera that nobody watches?
This is the genius of Gossip Girl, that things like this happened, and people were just like, that's fine.
Did he have an evil twin at any point?
No, sadly. He was his own evil twin, you could say.
Oh.
Anyway, so he was kind of rediscovering who he was, and she met him in, like, a train station in Paris. And she has this amazing bright red, long, flowing, massive full gown on. She looks like an absolute princess. And it was just beautiful.
See, how come whenever we traipse around Central Station with our long gowns on, people don't react to us in quite the same way? They're just like, get them back to the loony bin.
How come Chuck Bass is never there?
Yeah, exactly. Granted. Maybe we'll just need to keep on going and one day he will be there.
Maybe. These cruel games.
So I totally agree. Blair Waldorf looks amazing all the time. She definitely deserves a place in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, she would take one even if we didn't give her it, so...
Can we take a moment and just talk about the female cast of Clueless? I feel like we can't talk about amazing on-screen style without covering, you know, Alicia Silverstone and Brittany Murphy and the rest of the cast in that film. I feel like even though... looking back, it was the mid-90s when that film came out. Even now, I would still totally wear...
all of it.
Yeah.
Pretty much. It's funny because it's kind of hilarious to think about a film which is now, like, 20 years old, and which is really, really depressing. Lindsay's just started crying, but it's okay. I'll give her a cuddle, she'll be fine. It's really old, and it probably formed, like, so many of my opinions on, like, what was cool looking at that point, which have never really gone away. Like, self-favour, like a short tartan skirt.
Yep, knee-high socks.
I love a bit of matchy-matchy.
Oh,
I
love matchy-matchy.
Knee-high socks. Obviously, crop tops have come back around again.
Yeah, or just, like, an amazing, like, headband or hat.
Yeah.
I notice in... Clueless as well, that there's always like little tiny backpacks, which again are back around.
I don't know if I could go back to them, but I do appreciate that they're back.
I remember I had an epic one and it was denim with sunflowers on it. That's and I cool. loved it. But I think if I was to wear a tiny backpack now, I think I'd do it in more of like a fun fabric, like a faux fur or something.
Yeah, probably. I had a Converse one, which cool. I wore for several years.
Yeah.
It was particularly handy if you were going to a gig because you could still jump around and it didn't matter.
Jump up and get down.
All good. So Clueless fashion, still something I hold dear to my heart.
Yeah, even the characters that you're not supposed to like that much, like Amber, she still had terrific themed style, you know, running all the way through the film. I loved it. She just had that sort of air of arrogance, which was so hilarious to watch, but then also portrayed in her outfits, like when she had the hat with the gold dollar sign on it.
So cool.
You know, it was just, so, you know, she was such a caricature, and I think that's what I love so much about that film.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I'm trying to think of my favourite outfit. It's very difficult. But I do love Alicia Silverstone's outfit when she sits her driving test, which is like a kind of long sheer shirt, a kind of pullovery thing over like a kind of checked skirt thing. It's just awesome.
I have to say, even though it's a cliche, I do love the outfits that they wear at the start of the film where they're going to school, you know, in the first few scenes, and Dion's got this massive amazing hat on,
kind of black and white plastic hat,
yeah, to go with her kind of black and white checked skirt and jacket. I just love the blazers and the skirts as coordinates. I think it's super cute and totally something that you could get away with now. I wish that I could go to more corporate style business meetings so that I could wear matching skirts and jackets, but with knee-high socks and a tiny backpack.
I'm sure you probably still got a collection of fluffy pens as well.
Yeah, I add to that on a regular basis thanks to my many, many trips to Paper Chase.
Exactly. One of the things I also like about The Silent Clueless is the way that she totally calls out the lameness of the boys' dress in the film.
Yeah.
That she has like the big kind of monologue about how guys dress these days, and are we really supposed to be impressed by that? And I appreciate that.
Yeah, exactly. I think that bit is one of the most iconic bits of the film, when it's like in slow motion and you see kind of the different tribes of youths in the school. It's just amazing.
It's all good.
So yeah, the cast of Clueless, all the ladies in Clueless, you know, we salute you for sure.
And you're all on the list. Our next entry to the Hall of Fame is one that I have feelings about for very various reasons, but I still believe should be there, and it's Andy from Pretty in Pink, who is played by, of course, Molly Ringwald.
Yeah, she's so awesome in everything that she does, but particularly that film, just because she shows this real DIY fashion, you know, approach to things, and she makes the most of what she's got, and if it's, you know, putting something new together with her sewing machine or customising something that she's maybe had as a hand-me-down, or styling it, is just amazing. It's so unique, but so of the time as well, but I still look at it now and just think it's awesome.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about it, because I think that all the way through the film she looks incredible. Obviously Molly Ringwald is just gorgeous, and she has the best hair ever, so she's automatically like 10 points above anyone else, but she has like this awesome style all the way through, and she's so creative, and she looks really funky anyway. And then when she goes to her prom, she takes what is one of the most beautiful 50s dresses.
It's a dream,
that
dress.
I've ever seen. It's so perfect. It's like, it poofs out in the right places, it's fitted in the right places, but of course, this is the 80s, so Molly can't stand for that. And instead of wearing that absolutely stunning dress as it is and looking like just perfection, she cuts it up, turns it into a giant upside-down triangle, and I'm afraid I can't get on board with that, even though it's super stylish at the time, apparently.
Unless we forget the holes where the shoulders are supposed
to go. The holes where the shoulders are supposed to go, and then still like some sort of polo neck in the middle. It doesn't make any sense.
I like the montage of her making the dress, though. I do enjoy like a kind of peppy, upbeat sort of montage in a film. Like, this character is now getting on track and they're going to show the world. Like, I love the part when she's creating the dress, but then when the camera actually cuts to her wearing
such
the dress,
a
it's a bit of a letdown, and it's agree with you.
Everything's going well. Oh, I'm going to show them all. I don't even care what Andrew McCarthy and James Spader have in store for me. I'm just going to rock this. And then you're like, oh,
Molly.
Oh, Molly.
Oh, Molly.
Well seen, it's the 80s.
But I think it would have been so much more effective if it had been like turning the 80s dress into the 50s dress.
That would have been much more difficult.
I would have given her a standing ovation at the end of that montage if that's what would have happened.
Oh.
But yeah, she's just awesome in that film. I love her spunky attitude. And
I love her dance moves.
Yes.
And I love Andrew McCarthy.
Yeah, her dance moves really, when you think about it, and most things that she's in are pretty, yeah, it's pretty strong. But yeah, Andrew McCarthy as well. He's awesome. So yeah, moving on to something not quite as far back, but still a little bit far back. We've got Enid Coleslaw, who's played by Thora Birch in Ghost World. Sort of one that definitely ties in to, again, our love of checked skirts, because yeah. She wears them a lot in it. But
most of the list.
yeah. If you don't like checked skirts, you should probably just
check out. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. What I really love about this character is, again, she's just so full of badassery. It's just amazing. Yeah.
She just doesn't care. She wears awesome kind of printed t-shirts.
And combat boots, and, you know, she dyes her hair green at one point in the film, which is, you know, awesome. Like, anyone that... you know, a teenager and thinking about dyeing their hair or something, like I was when I watched the movie,
yeah,
like
exactly.
You know, like that bit in the film, as cheesy as it sounds, it totally speaks to you. Like, she's like dancing around her room to the Buzzcocks and dyeing her hair green, and
yeah.
just being like a wee toe rag. But this
she also wears a mask effectively. It looks cool.
Yeah, she wears basically
swear that you could pull that off.
Yeah, what is effectively like an S&M style mask, but she wears it as fashion. I love, there's a scene in it where she's wearing, again, she's wearing her chunky combat boots, but she's also wearing, it's almost like a kind of nod to like a French maid's outfit, but it's like a kind of monochrome, just like, you know, black skirt, black and white top, but then she's wearing a headband and it's black with a little white frill along in it.
Oh.
And it's really, it's just like a really subtle move to, again, I guess a sort of subconscious sort of S&M sort of style thing, but I think it's just, it's really daring, it's really bold, and it's, she managed to overshadow Scarlett Johansson in a movie,
exactly.
Which not a lot of females can say that they do.
I don't think anyone's done it since. So.
Yeah, so that's another reason why, Thora, you go into our style on screen Hall of Fame, for
yes,
sure.
We love you. Going further back, ooh.
This is like time travel.
Time travel through fashion. One of my ultimate favourite fashion-y films, and it's Audrey Hepburn in Funny Face. We looked up her character name because I couldn't remember, and it's Jo Stockton, but she just looks so good in this film. There's nothing about it that I don't enjoy. Her costumes were designed by Edith Head, and we had to look that up as well because we assumed that it might be Givenchy, but no.
No?
No. But they're just so cool. She starts off the film as a kind of quiet salesperson in a bookstore. She's really into her poetry, and she just wants to look serious with a black polo neck and black trousers. But even when she's dressed like that, she looks awesome.
See, whenever I wear black polo necks and black trousers, people just assume I'm a mime and want to give me money. So...
Oh no.
Definitely not as chic as Audrey Hepburn.
Not so cool. But it's later on in the film where she's recruited because of her funny face. As her unusual and quirky look, she's recruited as a fashion model, and she just has the most joyful, gleeful, amazing photo shoot through the streets of Paris, where she wears this just beautiful, big skirted, cinched waist, black dress. Floating above her is a giant pile of balloons. And it's just astounding. It's one of the best fashion moments in film I can think of.
I think it's just that silhouette. It's so classic.
Yeah.
It just looks great. And I think, you know, I certainly would love to be on the streets of Paris with a big bunch of balloons wearing
just
a beautiful gown.
Under the Arc de Triomphe with your balloons.
Exactly.
Hi, guys.
Le balloon.
And then all the Parisians are like, oh, another Audrey Hepburn fan.
Yeah, yeah, another person.
Every week.
I know, in another 5 minutes, one will run past again. More balloons, more giant skirts.
But they'll all enjoy it, so it's fine.
Yeah, it's again... one that, if you're not familiar with, it's definitely worth looking up and watching.
It's such an enjoyable film. It's got some really cool dancing in it. Fred Astaire is in it. Is it Fred Astaire? Pretty sure it's Fred Astaire.
Don't make promises you can't keep.
Pretty sure it's Fred Astaire, guys.
Someone that's good at dancing is in this film.
It's definitely him.
Okay. Yeah, I think a lot of people, when they think Audrey Hepburn in style, they think, okay, Breakfast at Tiffany's, but like we say, this one's definitely worth looking up if you've not seen it. We're going to move on now to something, a totally different look from Audrey Hepburn, for sure. And this is from the movie True Romance, and the character is Alabama. At the start of the film, she's Alabama Whitman, and then she gets married to Christian Slater very early on in the film. So, spoiler alert. And she becomes Alabama Worley. So her name changes, but her style stays just amazingly the same all the way through the film. She's a kitsch triumph. She just looks so good during the film. She's got this bouncy, floaty, Marilyn Monroe-esque hair. She wears, you know, turquoise mirrored sunglasses. It's like ruffled off the shoulder tops and tight pink capri pants with leopard print. You know, she rocks like a cow print skirt, cowboy boots, and apparently she smells like peaches. And she's just
quite delicious.
Again, it's another character that, you know, for harlot fashion is joy, and it's about giving her life. And I just think that is, you know, that is fashion, and that's, you know, what we try to do when we put outfits together. You know, it's about finding the fun and, you know, finding your own individual style. And I just think that Alabama does it in spades. It's just a brilliant film all round, but her style just takes it to the next level.
Yeah, she looks amazing, and it's also just nice because it would have been so easy for that to be trashy in the wrong way, but it's just trashy in the most, like, delightful way.
I'll never forget the scene towards the start of the film where she's turning up at the cinema on her own and meeting Christian Slater for the first time, and she's got this massive leopard print fur coat on, and she just looks amazing. I'm a huge fan of animal print, which, if you don't know me, you'll certainly learn that very quickly, that I love animal print, obviously faux fur, but this coat that she wears is just amazing as well. And again, she just has this really playful, like, look, and it's just amazing. But so yeah, again, we salute you, Alabama.
Something that's very different and as classy as she is trashy, I believe, is another girl who outshone. No, this isn't fair, because this is a programme that I enjoyed a lot more than I enjoyed Saved by the Bell, and I still think it's quite quality.
Yeah.
But she still outshone Will Smith in it, which is pretty impressive.
And Tatiana Ali.
Oh, yeah, that's
true. She was in it too.
And, of course, it's Hilary Banks.
Yeah, I mean, what can we say about Hilary Banks? It's not so that hasn't already been said.
Can ever be said enough?
Yeah, exactly.
That question.
She defined the businesswoman special look, I feel, before Romaine Michelle did, but we'll get to them later. She just looked like $1 million all the time.
She spent $1 million to look that good.
Yeah, she knew how to rock a peplum waist. Monochrome was definitely a thing that she made special, and also a lot of gold jewellery or gold chains as well.
Yeah, and also like little suits. Little matchy-matchy suits with kind of big pockets and gold buttons on them, and like epaulettes and things like that, where she just looked she looked very put together but very cool at the same time. And I know she was probably supposed to be a wee bit stuffy, but I really thought that she pulled it off.
I think that, again, she had a lot of fun with fashion, and fashion was a huge part of her personality as well.
Yeah, she always had like a good excuse to go shopping.
Not that you need an excuse.
Not
but
exactly. And that I certainly appreciate that.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the way that, like, we talked about Monochrome, she did that really nicely, but she also did colour very well.
Yeah.
Everything really bright and bold when she wanted it to be. She had a good way with lipstick,
mm-hmm.
which was very bold as well, and she just looked cool.
She wore a lot of colours that, you know, a lot of people might not feel brave enough to wear, like electric blue, mm-hmm. you know, like really bold, vibrant colours that, you know, draw attention to her. But she looked great, you know. I'll never forget the time that you and I were at the Glasgow Vintage Festival a couple of years back, and we found a suit that could only be described as a Hilary Banks suit in the market fair. It was just it was cerise pink, and it was satin, and it had a little quilt to it, and it even had a matching bag, you guys. It had a pink quilted bag with a gold chain, and as soon as we saw it, we just thought, that is a Hilary Banks ensemble. Like, that is it right there. And we were just so excited to find it. And I must admit, there is a tiny bit of regret there that we didn't just chip in and buy it together.
We could have shared it.
We could have
alternated, like, weeks that you got to wear it and I did, or we could have had, like, you got the bottoms and I got the top or something like that.
Yeah, and for special occasions, you know, each of us could wear the full thing with the bag.
Yeah.
So many missed opportunities.
I know, but the bonus of that is that you're never that far away from a Hilary Banks style suit at a vintage festival, so...
That's true. A lot of people, when they go to vintage festivals, I feel, or just vintage fairs in general, they focus on maybe looking at things from, like, the 20s or the 40s or something, but there is a lot to be said about finding old 80s gems, you know, like... the time we found earrings that looked like something that Hollywood from Mannequin would wear.
And we bought them.
We did buy them. We were not going to let that one get away, like the Hilary suit. The next step, of course, is finding the Hollywood glasses.
Yeah, the glasses would be too exciting.
But I feel we're getting off topic here. That film and that character is something that we can save for a whole other episode, I'm sure.
Yeah, you could talk about him for hours.
The next character that we're going to talk about is quite relevant just because there is a new version of the series that this character is from being made, and we are quite excited to see what they do with this character. Are they going to update it in any way, and, you know, how's it going to go? And that is Audrey Horne from Twin Peaks, a cult favourite, but now becoming more and more famous just as time goes on. New generations of people are introduced to this classic David Lynch programme, and they become obsessed with the characters and the style and the script. And Audrey Horne is a great example of amazing style that's showcased in that programme.
Yeah, she just really... It's one of the elements that really make the whole thing hang together. Just the way that everyone has their kind of unique personality shown in part through their fashion.
Yeah.
And she just looks fantastic. I especially like her lipstick.
Yeah.
It's a recurring theme
for
me.
Audrey Horne applying lipstick just looks amazing. But yeah, I love my favourite kind of Audrey look is her kind of casual sort of school outfit. Again, it features a check skirt, which a lot of you won't find surprising by this stage in the programme if you've made it this far, but you know, it's like little tight cardigans or blouses and like great, you know, bowling shoe type brogue flat shoes. I love wearing flat shoes with a big full skirt, and you know, she does it so well. It is kind of like even though the programme, you know, I think it's like 80s or 90s.
90s?
Yeah, early 90s.
I think it's early 90s.
Early 90s. Her style, I think, is a real sort of nod to like 1950s sort of juvenile, you know, delinquent style, yeah. Sort of teenagers like in America in the 50s sort of style. And that's a look that I really love. I think it's really, really cute.
And so we salute you. Our last one, this is our A-team list, so our last one on the list that's definitely kind of on the Hall of Fame.
Mm.
There's going to be some also-rans in a second, but it's actually a duo, because obviously that's a nice way to round it off, being a duo ourselves.
Yeah.
And it's almost spoiled by Lindsay a few seconds ago. It's Romy and Michelle.
Yeah. Sorry, I gave that one away. I should have said spoiler again. But oops. I feel like I say spoiler after I say the things that I'm supposed to say.
Yeah, it's not really
before,
that helpful at that point.
Yeah, sorry. But yeah, Romy and Michelle from Romy and Michelle High School Reunion. How can we talk about people that have really fun on-screen style without mentioning those two? The whole film just makes me smile, and mostly that is down to what the two are wearing.
I just love the fact that they don't care, and they'll dress the way that they want. Like, a lot of the clothes that they wear are not things that I would choose to wear myself, but that doesn't mean I can't appreciate the way that they look on them. I don't personally have any baby doll dresses with Marabou trim, but that doesn't mean that I don't
yet.
Love seeing don't love seeing them in them. I adore Lisa Kudrow, so her involvement in it, she just always has so much fun when she's in something, and you can tell like that just like they just enjoyed every second of making it.
Yeah, I think that as well, you know, it's outfits that they put together themselves. They have a lot of fun with texture, they have a lot of fun with colour. Like you see, it's like marabou feathers and, you know, maybe like vinyl dresses and, you know...
Matching shoes and bags.
Yeah, interesting accessories.
They do one of my favourite fashion things of like tying a little scarf around your head as you're driving off somewhere.
Yeah, because... you know, it's so dramatic and makes you feel so like Thelma and Louise.
Exactly. They look very cool, and even when they're trying out different things, like dressing like serious businesswomen, they still manage to look good.
Again, it's just an amazing moment in film. It's two best friends in the movie that, you know, they're each other's cheerleaders, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And that's when it comes to what they're wearing, as well as, you know, decisions that they're making as well. I just think it's an awesome film. It's a feel-good film. It's silly. It's fun. It's not meant to be taken seriously, but that's part of its beauty. It's just a great film. So we've done our A-list, which is definitely... that's not the exclusive list. I'm sure we'll do follow-up episodes.
Most likely, especially when we hear any suggestions of people we've cruelly missed out.
Yeah, exactly. So,
given that at the start of planning this, my list was just Blair, Blair, and more Blair, I think we've done pretty well.
I feel like we wouldn't argue with that list, but it's nice. It's nice to mix it up. And, you know, if any of your favourites were featured in there, we'd love to know. Or if your favourite wasn't featured in there, we'd love to know who your favourite on-screen style icon is. So make sure you hit us up and let us know about that. But we're going to move on now to a few special mentions, just because it's our show and we can do it that way for once. So do you want to go first?
So my first special mention was Megan from Mad Men. There's always a lot of chat about the clothes on Mad Men, and Betty and Joan always get a look in, but I'm much more excited by Megan, and I think it's probably just by the time she came around on the show, it was a wee bit later in the decade and getting into the late 60s and early 70s, and she just has a lot of fun. She's mini dresses, kind of big cool sleeves, and mainly because she has like the best eyeliner that you can get.
It's just, it draws the attention in, and it's so like cat-like and, you know, sexy and just so of that time.
Yeah, and she's obviously got a cool bob, which Lindsay should appreciate.
Well, yeah. Stole my look.
I know, can't believe it. So yeah, she definitely gets a special mention from me.
A film that both of us watched a lot as teenagers is Empire Records. So it would be difficult for us to have any sort of conversation about movies, you know, whether it's about style, music, you know, the feeling behind it, without talking about that movie. In particular, the character Corey, played by Liv Tyler, she had a really, you know, soft, cute style in it. But again, because it was the 90s, it was usually contrasted with chunky shoes or something. but she wears like this really fluffy jumper, which I know sounds really basic, but you know,
it's a really nice kind of sky blue colour.
Yeah.
It's very cute. And would you have guessed it? A tartan skirt.
A tartan skirt, of course.
Who would have thunk?
I think we need to join some sort of rehab for tartan skirts. I really do. This is starting to get a bit out of hand.
There's so many. but she looks cool in a film that I still love, but some of the other style hasn't stood the test of time so well, and she still, I think, looks pretty cool in it.
Yeah. Another character, again, that was quite of its time, is Madonna in Desperately Seeking Susan, who, you know, she wears lace gloves and a statement jacket. She, you know, Wayfarer sunglasses are her thing in it. There's a lot of things there that have stood the test of time, I feel. But
Madonna. she's got really good hair as well, I always think. I love that kind of that time, kind of curly, dirty blonde thing.
She's got, like, always got, like, some sort of fun accessory in her hair as well. It's weird because usually in films, I wouldn't feel so strong about a character that wears trousers a lot of the time. but, you know, Madonna, just, she looks ace in it. And again, it's about the attitude behind it. She's totally carefree in it, and she's amazing.
She's wearing it because it's just, it's her, and it's what she wants to express, and that's always good.
Exactly. Moving on, definitely a huge step away from Madonna's look in Desperately Seeking Susan, but no less awesome. We've got Margot Tenenbaum from The Royal Tenenbaums, so if you want to start us off.
Again, obviously, a lot of this comes down to eyeliner, which is because it's so perfect all the way through, and just the power of eyeliner, a good bob, and an amazing fur coat.
Yeah, it's amazing what those three staples can do for a girl.
Everything from the moment that she kind of first steps into the frame in this film, she just captures you. She looks incredible, and it's still hard for me to believe that it's Gwyneth Paltrow, because she just, like, it's one of the only times I can remember seeing Gwyneth Paltrow and thinking, then not immediately just Gwyneth Paltrow in it. She's so much that character, and it's just such a cool look. She doesn't have to worry about anyone. She just kind of,
she's so deadpan. Wonder she's got boys falling in love with her.
Left, right, and centre.
Yeah. So we thought it wouldn't really be a show talking about fashion on screen if we didn't quickly mention Carrie Bradshaw in Sex and the City. I know, a lot of you are probably going to be rolling your eyes and saying, like, oh, that's so obvious, but, you know.
Sometimes things are obvious because they're true.
Yeah.
So that's fine. It would be impossible not to mention, just because there's so many kind of iconic dresses and things like that that she did wear, and obviously to honour the amazing work of Patricia Field. So.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, without Patricia Field, there wouldn't be, you know, the sort of archetypal Carrie Bradshaw look. All the things like the tulle skirts and the fun colours and the unique handbags, that's all Patricia Field, you know, and it's her that really brought that character to life.
Yeah, they were lucky to have the combination of her and Sarah Jessica Parker and just actually willing to just go for it.
Yeah.
Some of my favourites were probably the entire kind of last two episodes of the series where she's in Paris. Like, there's not one thing that she wears that's not astounding in those episodes.
Even the simplicity of the scene when she arrives in Paris and she's wearing like a striped top and a big tulle skirt, and she just looks amazing.
And then she wears at one point like this incredible red dress with giant black polka dots with like a kind of green underskirt. Oh, it's so beautiful. And she eats cake while she's doing it and looks at a giant dog.
Oh, and she looks at that big dog and it just wants a bit of her cake. It's just, yeah, that bit's amazing as well. Again, mirroring when you were talking about Gossip Girl, you know, and funny face. Yeah, there's a definite Parisian theme running through the show as well, but they looked amazing. Another great Carrie moment was when she wore this bright pink Oscar de la Renta dress to McDonald's.
It's so stunning.
It's such a beautiful dress, and obviously it was an important part of the show because, you know, her boyfriend bought her it, and it was part of a scene earlier on in the programme where she was talking about it. And
it was an exciting romantic surprise from her Russian lover.
Our lover.
She also wears with it like a really cute little kind of cropped black tuxedo jacket.
Yeah.
Which gets, it's just,
it gets so many thumbs up that we don't have enough thumbs. Exactly. Put it that way.
So, yeah, it would have been wrong not to mention.
Next on the list, we've got Angela Chase.
This is probably more of a hair moment than anything else, because Angela Chase, if you don't remember, is Claire Danes' character from My So-Called Life, which was a formative show in my younger years, which I was absolutely in love with. Most of the fashion in the show, because it was the early 90s, is basically just grunge, so giant flannel shirts, faded out jeans, high kind of waisted jeans in a kind of mom fashion.
Mom jeans.
Not great, but the best moment, obviously, Angela's friend Ricky was like a cool style icon of his own, but her best moment was when she dyed her hair red. Much like Ina Coleslaw, it was like an exciting moment for a young girl who didn't want to have boring brown hair anymore and was ready to try something new. And as soon as I saw that, I was just off.
Yeah, that was you.
That was it. That was the turning point.
You saw red.
I saw red, and it was exciting. Never had the same, my natural hair colour since.
So Claire Danes has got a lot to answer for.
I mean, it was probably a couple of years later, because I must have been pretty young when that came out, but definitely not much longer. Definitely inspired by the great Angela Chase.
Definitely an influence. We're going to end things with a fun choice that we have, just because it's technically not a real person or played by real.
What are you saying?
Well, there is a live action one in the works, but we're just quickly going to talk about Gem and the Holograms, which was a cartoon that was out in the 80s. I'm sure a lot of you all know when we were growing up.
If you don't know it, imagine the coolest cartoon that you can think of, in which a group of young girls is in a band together and have to play against another evil band.
But they all have amazing hair and kick-ass clothes. Yep. And you know, they have guitars shaped like stars and hearts, and they just, and even like they have like crazy blue eyeshadow up to their eyebrows and stuff like that. It's just
bangles,
so many bangles. things like gold biker jackets and stuff.
How can you beat that?
Yeah, exactly. It's very hard to beat. I, for one, cannot wait to see the wardrobe in this film.
It's gonna be quite a challenge to make it look as exciting as the cartoon, but I'm hoping that they pull it off.
If they get Patricia Field in, they'll pull it off.
Yeah, that's what they could do. That's what we should petition. Start a Twitter campaign.
Yeah. If you agree with us, then send us a tweet at It's Those Gals and tell us that you would back that up. Or even if you think we're talking absolute nonsense, that's okay as well. We won't judge you.
Not too much.
So that wraps up our first Fashion Hall of Fame for on-screen style. I'm feeling pretty good.
I'm feeling good. That was round one fictional fashion.
Yeah. Who knows who's going to be inducted next. Let us know who you would nominate. Who do you think should go into the Those Gals Fashion Hall of Fame from on-screen style?
I'd love to hear what our big mistakes are and what our incredible misses are. But if any of you insult Blair, then I will be round.
Yeah, she will come after you, for sure. But thank you so much for listening. We hope that you've enjoyed. We'll be back with another episode soon. But in the meantime, why don't you tell these lovely people how they can get in touch with you?
You can reach us on Twitter at It's Those Gals. We've also got a Tumblr at thosegals.tumblr.com. To reach me personally, you can reach me on Twitter at Eileen in Glasgow.
And for me, you can find me all over the interwebs at Miss West End Girl and MissWestEndGirl.com. So hit us up, tell us what you think, and thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks guys. Bye.
Bye.